Welcome back to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. We're going to wrap up today's show with a little theater in a place where you might not expect to find theater, Oneonkoc, Virginia. The drive from Ocean City to Oneonkoc mostly takes you past farmland, and in the summer and fall, you'll see lots of roadside stands with locals selling the bounty of that farmland. And at some other stands nearby, you'll see people selling discount cigarettes as well as fireworks. But then, once you get to Oneonkoc, you'll find this.
You expect me to believe that implicit in everything you've said, that this entire conversation isn't at least partly informed. Am I right? By the issue of racism?
Are you out of your mind? I have no idea where this is going.
That's a scene from the regional premiere of Bruce Norris's Pulitzer Prize-winning play, Clybourne Park, which is currently on stage at the North Street Playhouse in Oneonkoc. It tackles some very heavy subjects like race, real estate, and people's often volatile values. The New York Times called this play darkly humorous, and it is wickedly funny. Here's a scene where the characters try to be politically correct, all while stumbling around their main point, which is they're uncomfortable with the idea of having a housing project near their neighborhood.
But, you know, when people are systematically, dehumanized, if you're placed in some faceless institutional...
The projects.
Like it or not, that kind of environment is not conducive to formation of community.
It's horrible.
What would the effect on children?
On anyone.
And if they would have been a prosperous, a solidly middle class...
Enclave.
And to undermine the entire economic...
Infrastructure.
By warehousing people, inside of these...
But I mean, that's the thing, right? You construct some artificial semblance of a community and then isolate people within that. Well, what would be the definition of a ghetto, right? A ghetto is a place where...
But who uses that word?
Sequestered.
I don't.
The definition, I'm saying.
The North Street Playhouse is the only regularly producing theater on Virginia's Eastern Shore, and over the past quarter century, it's staged 139 different plays for local audiences. I stopped by the Playhouse last Sunday to check out the production of Clybourne Park and find out how this group is continuing to survive in a rural corner of our region. First, maybe it's important to get a little perspective on what this playhouse and its theater director, Terry Bliss, means to the community. Betsy Pinder has been coming to see shows at the North Street Playhouse for years. She was sitting in front of me during Clybourne Park.
Terry Bliss, is from, her family was part of the Bodder Theater. And so she really is the reason this is doing what it's doing. And it's been here for the almost 25 or 30 years in tiny, and now bigger and bigger.
Right.
And now it's here, and it's just remarkable.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Oneonkoc without this theater being a part of it?
Not really, because it really brings in an artistic, the people that come in and shows that they bring in, and it's just really, really adds to Oneonkoc.
So here's Clybourne Park in a nutshell. The play spans two generations, 50 years apart, and Norris wrote this play as a sort of artistic response to Lorraine Hansberry's play A Raisin in the Sun. The play starts in 1959. Characters Russ and Bev are selling their desirable two-bedroom home at a bargain price, unknowingly bringing the first black family into the neighborhood. This, of course, borrows a plotline from A Raisin in the Sun. But the sale creates ripples of discontent amongst the cozy white residents of Clybourne Park.
The children who attend St. Stanislaus. Once a year, we take the middle schoolers up to Indian Head Mountain. And I can tell you, in all the time I've spent there, I have not once seen a colored family on those slopes. Now, what accounts for this? Certainly not any deficit in ability, so I am just forced to assume that there is something about the pastime of skiing that does not appeal to the Negro community. And feel free to prove me wrong.
Carl!
But you'll have to show me where to find the skiing Negro.
Carl!
In Act Two, the play jumps to 2009. The same property is being bought by a young white couple whose plan to raise the house and start again is met with equal disapproval by the black residents of the soon-to-be gentrified area. So the play begs the question, are the issues festering beneath the floorboards of this home actually the same 50 years on? I caught up with the cast and crew after the show and asked them what the reaction has been to the play and what it's like to be actors here on the shore. I started with the two African-American characters in the play, Mike Singleton and Patrice Glover. They're both in high school. I asked them what they thought of Clybourne Park when they first read the script.
I liked it. I thought it's really what goes on sometime nowadays and makes something new to theater.
How about for you?
Well, when I first read it, I thought it was immediately hilarious with all the jokes going around. But then again, it gets a little touchy from here to there. And when I thought about it, it's a lot of things that do happen now. Mm-hmm. And I'm just glad it got put into a play so that everybody can see it.
As young actors, do you feel like people your age or people of your generation respond to touchy issues of, you know, race or gender or, you know, politically incorrect subjects differently than maybe some of the characters in the earlier part of the show in the 1950s, the 1960s, people that are much older than you?
Yeah, most definitely. Like, in our generation, considering we're both still in high school, it's, we'd probably laugh at it then, like right now, but then in the 1950s, they'd probably like punch somebody in the face or something.
Yeah. Talk about the opportunity of this theater being here and being young actors. Talk about how important that is just to get the opportunity to act and do what you like to do in front of an audience.
I think it's very important because you don't, a lot of people don't get a chance to do this. And being that it's here and it's on the Eastern Shore, and we have the privilege of coming here and doing this and giving back more so, I think it's a pretty good thing.
Well, I'm glad it's here because I don't know what I'd do with my summers. I'd be bored at home. But, like, I'm glad. It keeps me busy. And I think that because this is what I want to do when I get older, I want to major in musical theater, that having this opportunity and building upon that gives it different stages. And I think that a lot of people should get more into the arts.
Yeah. My name is Jill Radjevic. Mm-hmm. I'm Lenore Hart.
Both of you were very funny in your own rights throughout the show. The first part of the show, you played a deaf woman. And in both scenes of the play, you were pregnant, which now as I see your prop next to you, you are not. the spandex baby. Tell me what struck you about this particular show and what you hope that audiences took home with them today after they watched this.
In this particular show, I think a lot of subjects come up that not only are they very, very realistic and they very much exist, and as we see in the portion of the play that takes place in the 1950s, they existed and they may have been, the people's perception of these topics was very different and probably is different now, but you know, I think it allows people to laugh at those topics, you know, whereas some people may not feel very comfortable to do it. I think it allows people to see that, oh, okay, yeah, of course some people all think that and some people are thinking in other ways, and it just gives us a good outlet to laugh at maybe some things and lighten up at each other and see that, you know, the on the whole side of race, you know, there's all sides are feeling different ways, and it's okay to kind of laugh at it because we're all feeling kind of the same.
I found it interesting because so much of the dialogue was about offending people and people taking things the wrong way and people saying things that maybe they meant, but they didn't want them to come across that way. While you guys were preparing for the show, did you worry that you were going to offend somebody?
No, not really. No. No, I mean, I thought that that people probably would be offended. But, you know, there's almost any play you take, I mean, somebody will be offended about something. But this definitely had a greater, I think, propensity probably to do that. But I didn't really get any feedback like that. I think on the surface it seems to be about gentrification and misunderstanding, people misunderstanding cues and words and trying to convey what that's like. But one of the most interesting things about it, I think, is that even though people change their viewpoints somewhat, you know, in 50 years, it's interesting to see how even though people change, they still are protective of the same things and they're still offended or upset by the same things. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about some of the challenges of doing small town theater and that the importance of connecting with the audience that you more than likely are going to run into during the week at the store and whatnot.
Well, last night in Act 2, I looked up when the F word was flying around and there was my minister sitting on the front row with a kind of a stare. And I thought, yeah, this wouldn't happen in New York, you know, I wouldn't be able to even see him. But I think it's, you have to transcend things like, you know, there's people out there who, you know, your neighbors, your friends, and you have to forget about that, and they have to kind of forget about that too, and, you know, and just not think about who you really are and that they know you. So I think that's the intimacy of small town life or rural life is great, but on the other hand, it seems to, I mean, if you'd let it, I think it could kind of stifle the way, or what you feel you can say or do, mm-hmm. you know, that you might start editing yourself because of who you think might be in the audience. And then there's the, where do you get costumes and makeup? I mean, we rely heavily on the hospice thrift store.
Right.
You know, that's our main source.
Although as we move over here, I can't imagine this blue Super Mario Brothers tie came from that thrift store. Maybe it did.
No, this was mine.
Tell me your name and who you play.
My name is Chris Klez. I played Jim in the first act and Tom Driscoll in the second act.
As I was speaking to people during intermission and even before, you know, and I was telling people that we were doing a piece on this playhouse, everyone spoke to me about how much it's a cultural gem in this community. Tell me about not only being able to act in front of people, but to be able to be a part of something. Everybody always says, you know, every actor I've ever spoken to says they like to be a part of a show. But it's not just a show. You're part of the playhouse.
Well, I haven't. This is my first big production with the North Street Playhouse. And I didn't actually understand how big of an impact it was making until we started getting the word out. And then when I hear that we're actually, this is the regional premiere, it just turned it into an even bigger thing. And it's an amazing feeling to be a part of something like that.
Yeah. You know, as I was sitting in the back, or at the top rather, I was wondering to myself as I heard people blurt out, and mostly it was exorbitant laughter or boisterous laughter, I wondered to myself if anyone ever tried to interact with y'all while the play was happening. Has that ever happened?
Not yet with this production. It's mostly laughter. It's mostly like we hear comments, but every time we do this, the laughter will pop up in a different spot. And that's the hardest thing, is trying to keep a straight face when it's in a spot where we don't normally have it.
Right. Let's move on down the line. Introduce yourself.
Okay. My name's Joe Vincent and I played Carl in the first act and Steve in the second.
Joe, you were all over the place, both of your characters. They were all over the place, and you know, you really showcased that misunderstanding aspect.
Yeah.
People who were very stuck on their ideals, and they were trying to say something, and they couldn't really say it.
Yeah.
Tell me about when you were going through your script and just trying to master the phrasing so you could deliver those lines with comedic timing and whatnot.
The characters are pretty similar, but I think they're different personally. The thing that I realized about Carl pretty quickly is he's there, he has an agenda. He knows exactly what he's there to say, and he struggles to say it sometimes, but, you know, he's got points to stick to. But the thing about everyone in the second act is really they're there under a completely different pretense, but then it devolves into something, you know, completely different, and then people really just show more what they're like, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my name is Tom Nolan, and I play Russ in the first act and Dan in the second act.
What do you think that the experience of coming out to a live show in an age when you can pretty much get any show you want at any time on your computer or your tablet or your television, you know, just that feeling of coming out on a Sunday afternoon and seeing a show and what it means to this community that you can still do that here?
I've been here 8 years now, and this, what I found, the Playhouse here is known beyond the borders and across the bay, this playhouse. It has a sense of integrity. People come here and they expect to get a good show. Mm-hmm. The community is really surrounded this theater and loves the shows. They know what to expect. And it's not just, as Terry would say, it's not a community theater. The community comes because they love the theater. Mm-hmm. And that's what they expect. They expect it to be a good show. And I think in this particular show, because it's different than some of the other ones we've done, it touches on things that a lot of laughter I notice is nervous laughter, because this show shows you some things and it puts it right in your face.
But you can't talk about the North Street Playhouse without talking about the vision and the tireless effort of Terry Bliss. She basically founded this theater at her kitchen table. She says what the Playhouse has become and its role in the community has surpassed even her wildest hopes and dreams.
I came here initially with a job as an attorney at Legal Aid, and landed in Onancock. And I can remember one of the first times driving down the main street and past the Hopkins House, which is farther down near the water, and thinking that will be the summer residence for the stock company when we do that. So it's always been something that's been in my heart and in my mind. When I had the opportunity to get some people together, and it was around the kitchen table, it built over the years. We started out going in a lot of different, performing in a lot of different venues. And our first quote-unquote permanent home was 4 North Street around the corner, which was the total building was about 1,300 square feet. And this building, we bought this building in 1999, and it is just under 9,000 square feet. So the size of the stage here, or the audience, is the entire size of the stage and the audience at 4 North Street. One of my goals always was for us to get to a point where people would come and see shows that we produced, even if they hadn't heard of them, because they knew that we were going to get a good they were going to get a good show. And I think that certainly we have reached that goal. One of the joys for me is always seeing a cast come together as a group and bond and come to depend on one another. So have we reached the goals? Have we probably we have exceeded what I initially thought. I do remember thinking some years ago, it'll be interesting. There were a few things going on arts-wise and theater-wise, and I thought, and it was 95, and I thought, I'm going to be interested to see who's still around in 10 years. Mm-hmm. And here we are, and we are the ones who are still around. Right. So, it is all a work of joy and a work from the heart.
I was speaking to somebody at intermission, and she told me that she's lived in various parts throughout the country, mm-hmm. but she said that her parents brought her here years ago. She says that there's something about seeing a play here that she has never found anywhere else. What do you think that is?
Well, I hope it's the quality. But in addition to that, certainly there is an intimacy. We are very proud that we receive grants from the Virginia Commission for the Arts each year. One of the things that they want included in the grant proposals are letters from people. And every year I write that we don't get a whole lot of letters, but we see people in the grocery store and we see people on the street for months and years after who recognize folks and talk to them and tell us how much they enjoyed it and when are we going to do Driving Miss Daisy again? So that and the intimacy of it, I think, make a big difference.
As you look to the future and you look at not only the way audiences enjoy art, mm-hmm. but also where we are geographically speaking, what do you think the major hurdles are for theater here on the shore?
Well, I think one of them is the same hurdles that people find in all theaters everywhere, and that is developing younger audiences and new audiences. We're always going to have geographical limitations for our audiences. Trying to bring in a group of people who are not used to going to the theater, as you said, mm-hmm. they're used to seeing it online, or they're used to, and some of them, it's not even movies. Somebody sent me a little card on Facebook today that says 3D has been around for thousands of years. It's called live theater. And I think I'm going to post that out front.
But as long as this is the sound at the end of the performances at the North Street Playhouse, it should continue to wow audiences and be one of the cultural gems that you can find here on the shore. To catch the North Street Playhouse's production of Clybourne Park, the show runs through tomorrow night. So for more information, click to our website, wamucoast.org. I'm Brian Russo, and you're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City.